Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Well, this is the Good Morning Football podcast. Do not turn us off. I promise we have lots to talk about. Hi, Peter Schrager.
Hey, Kay Adams.
Hi, Nate Wilson.
Hey, what's up, Kay?
What is that, a Java chip? Crap, you're drinking?
Yeah, tea gets my drink. I think he's trying to give me diabetes, bro. What are you doing here? It is so sugary.
It looks
sugary.
Like an ice cream cake in a cup.
It really does.
Hi, Kyle Brandt.
Hi. Hey, Kay Adams. What do you got? You got this? The tea going here?
Peach tea.
Good,
it's
peach
tranquil.
Tea.
It's tranquil after 3 hours of you completely off the rails.
OTR.
From 7 to 10 Eastern every morning on NFL Network. So this is our podcast. We just walked off set. We have some coffee, and we're going to do some talk. But before we do that, Nate.
Yeah.
You went to Seattle. So proud of you getting to raise the flag.
Thanks, sis.
I'm not from Seattle. I don't really understand the scope of what a big deal it was. So why don't you take me through that?
All right. So I got an email a couple of months ago reading that they wanted me to do the raising of the 12th man flag. And my initial thoughts was they sent the email to the wrong person. Because when I was on the sideline right before the game, it's after the coin toss. You would look up, and none of the players knew. So you would have legends. I mean, like Steve Largent and Mac Strong, guys that meant a lot to the organization.
Jim Zorn.
Jim Zorn, right. And, you know, you also have, like, superstars like Macklemore, anybody from the city. So mix a lot.
And when do they do it, pregame?
No, right before the game starts.
Got
so
it.
They'll
Jerry
do the
Cantrell.
Coin toss. And, yeah.
And he's a Screaming Trees lead singer.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And
has Eddie Vedder done it?
Who?
Eddie Vedder, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure maybe
he affiliates with Chicago for some reason.
He is. He's from Evanston, so he always does the Wrigley stuff, but probably not.
So I went out there, flew out there with the family. And
did you pick Christmas weekend because you knew you can?
They picked it.
And they picked it.
Originally, I didn't want to do it because it's such a long flight and I have to be back for work, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I went there and I went to the stadium. You can put it down, Peter. And I went to the stadium and just walking around inside the stadium, I felt like I never left. And I identify a lot with the Lions. So I didn't know how it was going to be received. But it was almost as if I had just recently stepped off the field. I mean, all the security guards, every person and personnel that I would talk to pregame, they all embraced me like I was just there. So that was amazing. And then you get up to the top of the stadium where the flag is, and they say, we're going to play a small video, and then we'll raise the flag. So I had my Lions, I mean my Seahawks.
You had like six outfit changes, I saw.
I had a Seahawks blazer on, so I took it off and had a lining in
that
it.
That was so cool.
And so I saw the video and had like Nate with an afro from high school and a high school clip of me scoring a touchdown. And then they showed us. They said analysts with the NFL Network, and they showed GMFB, and the crowd went crazy. And everything from, Nate, we love you, come back home, to we wish you were still playing, to we watch your show every morning. And it was like a mixed bag of just fans of myself, my brand, and also now being an analyst. So I don't know. It was a very exhilarating experience, very humble, though. Very humble.
Let me ask you, because to me, this is larger than life. You had your three kids with you, right?
Yeah, my dad, my mom, my wife, everyone.
I mean, to have your kids see you celebrated that way, was that a first for you?
Yeah, because when I played, they were always so far removed from the field. They didn't really have – they were so young. They didn't get on the sideline. They knew dad played, but – I don't think they really knew, like, what my role was on these teams. So for them to be 12, 10, and 6 and walk on the field with me and fans stopping and going crazy, they're kind of like, damn, I haven't seen that in a while. You know, because 3 years ago they saw it in Detroit. But, you know, you forget. And that my daughter was just sitting there like, I can't believe, why do all these people, like, want your autograph? I said, these guys are big fans of Daddy. And what I was able to do here. So, I don't know, it was one of the best experiences I ever had. I enjoyed it. You know, I don't cry a lot. I don't get emotional a lot. And it hit me a couple of times.
I feel like, you know, I know your deal with your teams. Like, you know, Minnesota was special because they drafted you.
Yeah.
And then Detroit was special because you really identified with the city and the people. But exactly. Seattle, in the middle, was like you were from there. And I remember you telling me when we first met that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You got to go to Seattle. You're like, yeah, but I was so nervous because all my family was going to be there. They were really special for you, too.
Very nervous. Playing in Seattle, I always felt like every person in the stadium, like, knew who I was.
Yeah.
Like, every person in the stadium remembered this kid
from the
running
block.
Around at 5 6. Yeah, up the block, Nate Burleson, the city kid. And I tore my thumb up the first year and didn't tell anybody, so I couldn't catch the ball. So I looked like a bust. They had just brought me there for a 4-year, $15 million deal. And I remember thinking, I got to do something. because this city is going to turn their back. And it's the worst thing. Like, okay, if another city that I'm not from didn't like me, I'm okay with that. But the place that I lived, like, I didn't want to be a bus. So that following year, like, I busted my ass harder than I ever worked. And I tried to go out there and earn a spot. And I remember Coach Holmgren saying, it's open competition. Who wants to play next to Deion Branch? I felt like I beat out everybody, even Deion at that time. And Deion was amazing. He just came from New England. And I walked into Coach Holmgren's office, and he said, look, you did a great job, but I'm going to start DJ Hackett. And I was like, well, you said it was open competition. I made it very clear that I'm your best receiver. He said, yeah, but I like my guys. So we'll find a way for you to get in the rotation. And I was like, all right, damn, what do I do now? So then I went on special teams. I made a promise to myself every time I touched the ball, I'm going to make him. He's going to have to answer to
sounds
me.
Sounds like some bullshit from Holmgren, if you ask me.
You know, that's the way I kind of felt. But Holmgren's very hard on me, though. He was very hard on me. And I felt like that. There was like a certain strain between me and his relationship because Tim Ruskwood had brought me in. Holmgren didn't necessarily want me.
Sure.
So it kind of made it clear, like, Nate, you're just here. But you're not my guy. Mm-hmm. But I had to earn it. I had to fight for his respect. And I remember one thing happened. It's all these dynamics between me and Seattle that makes it special. I remember my dad was coming after a game, and he said, he's like, I'm going to go say hi to Holmgren. And I was like, cool. I had a big game. He walks and says, hey, I'm Al Burleson, Nate's dad. Just wanted to introduce myself. And Holmgren said, I'm very hard on your son. Mm. I'm very hard on your son. Hmm. And that's all he said. And my dad was like, I wonder why he's so hard on you. So I spent 4 years trying to fight for love for my city, but really fight for appreciation from this coach who's a legend of the game.
Wow.
And so when I left there, I left on terms that were uneasy because they didn't sign me back. They offered a deal, but Detroit came in and said, we'll offer you more.
Famous story, guys, and I'll tell you this. Famous story, and I remember covering it when it happened. It was the start of free agency the first night. You start at midnight, 12 a.m.
Sure.
And the story goes that Scott Linehan, who was, I guess, with you in Minnesota,
yep,
shows up at Nate Burleson's driveway at 12:01 and knocks on the door and says, hey, I want to bring you to Detroit with me. And Burleson signed right there the first minute of free agency.
And then we went and sat in a restaurant, and that's when the negotiations started. And Seattle, at the time, they say, hey, we want to sign you back. Detroit came in and said, listen, we got some money we're going to throw your way. Seattle didn't pick up the phone after that.
Detroit was, remember, winless.
I've heard about these midnight stories. You know, Rex Ryan went and got Bart Scott.
Yes.
That's true? Actually, when the clock strikes 12.
He flew out, and he flew from a different time zone so he could sit down with me, and he could be the first voice that I hear in free agency because he knew there was going to be a few other teams involved.
Knocked on your door?
You look out the window, and there's Linehan in your driveway physically. Yes.
Yeah.
And then
we sat there, and we waited for the clock to tick.
You knew he was coming, though. He didn't just show up and knock on your door.
Like he texting you or something?
Well,
he
couldn't really text, couldn't communicate. Because
so what do you mean? He just knocked on your door?
I was still a part of the Seahawks. I was still part of the team.
Until March 15th.
So still midnight. Like, midnight hit. Then other people said, hey, you might have a visitor out there. But I couldn't – so I didn't know if it was true.
Wow.
You fast forward years later, and – me not sure how I'm going to be received back home, and the people loving it, you know. So it was a moment that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. In my football career, it's up there. It's really up there.
Did you order dessert at the restaurant?
Yeah, I did, of course. You know,
I love that you remember.
I'm drinking dessert right now.
Wow, that's an incredible story. Well, we are very proud of you.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing us, sharing that with us.
Love you too, man.
Thanks for taking a red eye home. I don't know how you got back at like an outrageous time.
Got back at 1 a.m.
And left the family in Seattle, right?
Yeah, left the family in Seattle.
It's got to be difficult, too.
For my other family, I had to come here.
You're the best.
Got 2 hours of sleep and then kicked butt yesterday.
Big weekends. Peter Schrager.
Yeah, there's a whole day.
I know you don't like that we're going to revisit this because you're
very
humble, but too bad because you're out there signing autographs to young kids, signing footballs, nonetheless.
I'm the only one of us who gets out.
Footballs.
Gets on the football field every week. Thankfully, the Fox guys have let me keep my sideline job on the weekends while I do Good Morning Football. What I didn't realize was the compound of the two would result in interaction with fans. Well, not Brad Pitt, but something close to it. Maybe Ray Romano.
I like what you say when you do the sideline. People yell at you, where's Aaron Andrews? Like, we got this guy, Peter Schrager, who is a thing.
For years. So
funny.
I'm on one of the Fox crews, and typically, they know Aaron Andrews. They know Pam Oliver.
Yeah.
They know Laura Oakman. I'm this guy who's not your typical sideline reporter. I'll call it like it is. When you've got females in the field, and then I am, I think it's me and Evan Washburn, who does the CBS games. The fans aren't thrilled when walking around the sideline, strolling down there. It's me and my 6'3", 245-pound body walking around. They're saying, where's Aaron Andrews? Where's Pam Oliver? This year it's totally different. It's Good Morning Football. We love the show.
Yeah.
And it's so overwhelming. And at first I didn't know how to handle it because I'd get recognized in an airport maybe once every eight trips. Like, hey, dude, love your work. And that was that. And it was two guys. Not. Now it's like one of those deals where every time I'm in an airport, someone, a business traveler, a flight attendant, is like, we love the show. We start off the mornings. We love the show. So let's fast forward to Sunday. I'm walking the sidelines with Chris Spielman, who's a nine-time NFL All-Pro. What's
you're
up?
You're fast forwarding past the flight.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to talk about it.
You're on the flight. Flight attendant comes up to you.
I'm on the flight. Flight attendant comes up to me and says, hey, are you Peter Schrager? And I thought I was getting bumped from first class. So I just got upgraded.
Oh, you were in first.
I thought that. I thought they were going to say, sorry, you're back.
Give me some more wine.
You're back at 23C, which is my usual seat. Yeah. So I was like, all right, here we go. She's like, the pilot would like to speak with you.
Can you believe
that? I'm like, the pilot?
The pilot.
Pilot? Am I a pilot? Like, what the hell did
I trouble?
Do? Am I in trouble? What? So I go up to the cockpit. I mean, I've never been since I was 4 years old, maybe, get my little wings.
He wanted to compliment you on your hair.
I thought so. And he goes, yeah, saw you come on the flight. Huge Steelers fan. Love the show. You guys have to stop with your Bengals love. I'm a Steelers fan. Love the show. Keep it up. Da, 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 da. The pilot.
The pilot.
So this is the kind of stuff that's happening. And I guess this is like a metamorphosis of going, you know, having a daily television show and what happened. I don't know what... Honestly, I don't know how it is for Chris Berman to walk into an airport or for John Gruden to walk into an airport or for Nate Burleson, for that matter, to walk into an airport. But it's happening, and the fans on Sundays are the best because, Kay, I just can't wait till you're in public with fans of the show because I'm probably the fourth member of this crew, I feel like, with like the fan connection. And I'm walking there, and everyone's saying, hey, so I'm with Chris Spielman, a nine-time All-Pro, the number one high school recruit out of Canton, Ohio, the number one NFL draft pick out of Ohio State. And Charles Davis, who's been on television for 20 years, is one of the most respected and loved guys in sports TV. And the three of us are walking in a line, and they're yelling, "Good morning, football, Schrager, Schrager." And I'm looking at Spielman, and I'm almost – I'm mortified. Mortified.
I would be mortified.
We're on a football field, and they're not, "Hey, Spielman, loved you."
No, they want you.
They want me.
Yeah.
So what do? I go over, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything. And Charles Davis, who – is the consummate pro, the best in the business, says to me, he goes, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a quick life lesson right now. If you say no and you deny those fans, they're going to remember that you blew them off. In your head, you're being humble, but those fans will come back and be like, you know, that guy was a real a-hole. I yelled his name. I'm sitting there like a schmuck yelling his name, and he blew me off.
They think you're big time.
And he thought I was big time. So he's like, go over there and say hello. So I go over there, and I'm like, you know what? That was a good lesson. And I go and I say hi to the guy, and then it happens. They hand me a football and a Sharpie, and I'm like, I can't do this. I didn't play football. I don't belong on this
Nate
football field.
Nate is listening to the story, but it's not registering the dilemma you're having inside.
Nate, you've got a nine-time All-Pro linebacker. No one's calling his name, and they're calling my name to sign a football. So I'm like, okay, what
it's
do I do
show,
here?
Man.
What do I do here? And I take the Sharpie. I've never signed anything. You know, I don't know. And I start signing this football feeling like I am, like, cheating on a girlfriend or something. Like, this is not right. This doesn't feel natural.
You just signed your name? You have to write something like, thanks for the love.
I didn't know what to do. I, like, signed.
All the best.
Like, I
once to watch.
Yeah, there's, like, Trey Wingo signed footballs.
Cool.
Like,
He might, but
is that weird for him? Like, I don't know.
I actually do think it's weird. I totally
so I did it. I did it because this little girl, she was like, and the jokes then, I mean, then it was an avalanche because Spielman took a photo, and he, you know, and he loves me, and I think he loves me, but he was like, he tweeted it out and was like, big time guys.
It made my entire day.
Signing
so
a football.
Great.
I tagged all you guys. I tagged Jacob Ullman, my boss at Fox. I tagged everyone. I said, look, this is what's happening right here. And I have to be, you know, what's the word? Self-aware. Like, I know how absurd this is. I'm not signing this in
but
earnest.
It's not absurd. Like, we're feeding people great football information 5 days a week. It's the first thing they see for most people.
My mom didn't let me play high school freshman football because she was worried I would get hurt.
It's not that you sign the autographs,
signing
you sign
a
the football.
Football.
It is, to me, it's that you sign the football, which is, I think it's great.
And the photo is
Do
me,
you
like,
sign
and
any
it's
babies?
Like, fan,
kiss
not
any
signing
babies?
Any babies. But the lesson I'm learning is that I have to come to grips with the fact that people might recognize, and I forget fame, I mean, whatever. I mean, let's not get
You're
going to
sign
ahead.
Some scantily
I'm a nobody
women.
In the grand scheme of things. But that's going to happen at games, and I cannot wait for Super Bowl week when you guys have to face it, and it's going to be this weird moment because forever we've always been on the outside looking in, kind of, and that was a really weird moment.
Yeah. Kay, you're shaking your head. It's going to happen. It has to happen.
You know, I
and
like
now
to
this
put
is where I spin it to Kay Adams.
It's not going
to
work.
Because
I like to put the big old
this is why it's great, because
head.
All along Kay has said, I wouldn't sign the autograph, and nothing against being rude.
I would never sign an autograph.
Listen. I was.
Why would you not?
I would, even if it was a 9-year-old child, I would say you need to get a grip with reality.
A 10-year-old boy says, "Can you sign my football?"
What
are you saying?
What do you? I'd say, "What do you want my autograph for?"
Okay, I've seen you with kids. You love kids.
You love kids. You're the sweetest woman in the world.
It's not about that. It's get your priorities in order. You do not need Kate. Where Kay Adams falls in the
Well, look, we don't have Diane Sawyer here at the airport. Mm-hmm. I got Kay. Can I have your autograph, please? I love watching you on TV.
What if someone recognizes you and says, hey, can I get a quick photo? I mean, that's
Yeah. Listen,
that's normal. That's okay.
But signing something is I've just never seen the point in autographs anyway.
Neither have I. It's awful.
I was with Lofa Tutupu on Friday night before the game.
Great USC linebacker.
I feel like we're having a very egotistical conversation.
Yeah,
like, we have so many fans.
No. This is our show.
They watch the show all the time.
Lofa.
They love the show. At the Seahawks facility, front office, players, all that. He says, man, I love you guys. You know, you guys are cool, man. Kyle, Peter, all that's fine. Kay Adams. I need her signed autograph for my best friend. I was like, oh, I'll get an autograph and also like do a video and we'll both like say what's up.
I'm left-handed. I write like a chicken. Let me practice this here.
He asked me to, and I'll show you the text. People are going
to
ask you for your autographs now.
XOXOK.
No, and honestly, Kay, the question I get the most is.
Smack.
The question I get the most, and it's almost like they want to hear a negative answer. They say, how's Kay in person? And I'm like, she's awesome. She's
Why is that?
I don't know, but it's like
one of these
there's
things
there's
is
a
not like the other.
There's
if
a
I
mystery.
Watch the show, I want to know what you're like.
Because
too.
Kay, for 3 hours a day, you're hanging with three meatheads. I mean, we are idiots. We're fools. And you hang with us.
Oh, Zippo, this isn't a good signature.
That's just cursive writing. You need like an autograph. Yeah. You know, you need something cool.
No, I don't.
Swirl.
I can see why you don't sign autographs.
Yeah, I mean, I got
it's
a
terrible.
Crazy one.
What? I see. I cannot believe that you are on this incredible journey where you get to be on the sideline and see these fans, and they're like a wave.
Every weekend.
I'm not fans of you, but fans of football.
The show can go away at any second, and that's fine. The experience I've had this season, being able to interact with fans in person, has been the most rewarding part of this entire crazy journey we're on as a show.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you feel it on Twitter, right? Like, you get the tweets.
Yeah.
Now imagine those people as faces and living bodies being like, hey, thanks for talking about the Falcons today.
I
it's
can't
cool.
wait to get down to Houston.
Yeah.
Kay, how was your weekend?
It was great. Yeah. How was yours? I worked.
Go on.
I had to work on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, it was Christmas weekend. I just very quickly, guys, one thing I've realized about fatherhood, and Kay and I, you discussed this once before, one of the most satisfying feelings in the world as a father. I put together Calvin's electric Jeep, like the Power Wheels Jeep, mm-hmm. as a surprise from Santa. It's not the putting it together. It's not even giving it to him. It's not even seeing the joy in his face. When it comes time to do the decals on a toy, there is no sweeter feeling in the world as a father than perfectly sticking the landing on a decal.
You're right.
Smooth it out.
My brother-in-law told
me. No bubbles.
Right. Yeah. And perfectly straight. The eagle has landed.
Got to be so meticulous.
So meticulous. Because when you do it, and you can't really redo it, you got to pull it off, and then it's
the
all askew. So I stuck the landing like 50 times on this Jeep, and I was so proud. Not a single air bubble on the whole thing. I was beaming.
That's good
more
stuff.
Than him. And it was my Christmas
morning. Congrats, bro.
Thank you so much. Stick the landing
your
on the
decal. Your family's here. We got to meet the fabulous Georgia.
Georgia was here. Austin was here. Casey was here. They crashed the set yesterday. They're in from Chicago and
met
all
your
around.
Mom.
Yeah, my mom, Georgia. She's a former beauty queen and an actress. She worked with Chris O'Donnell, among many others.
Beautiful woman.
Yeah, thank you. My mom's had an incredible life.
She said, I came in. She extended her hand for a handshake. I gave her a hug.
I saw you.
I was like,
hugs.
I do hugs. And she's like, thank you. I do hugs, too. And right there, I knew
I
her energy was unbelievable. She said, I feel like I know you guys because Kyle, he speaks highly of you guys, and I watch you guys all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, we're basically your kids now.
That's it.
And she
last day, she's like, everyone was so good-looking. I just couldn't – everyone was beautiful. So that's all you guys. Good
I
job.
I love that. All right.
Yeah, awesome.
Let's talk about the big football story of the week, and it had to be injuries. That was
I
the
think
theme.
So.
Marcus Mariota, the fibula. It was death by fibula in week 16.
You know what's weird about the NFL? I know we have a ton of injuries, and you can't really pinpoint one injury that takes down a few guys. But what I've learned when playing, when one injury happens, for some odd reason, a whole bunch of those injuries happen.
Like, injury bug.
Yeah. You'll hear an Achilles, and it'd be like three or four guys. Mm-hmm. Or ACL. And they're like last year, there was a string of ACLs in the preseason. It was mm-hmm. crazy. And then one weekend.
Like when famous people start dying.
Three guys?
Right.
Three guys fibulas?
I know.
Like,
that's so
how
true.
How odd is that?
It is odd. And it's the biggest buzzkill. Look, we're already dealing with the season, guys, where we have no Gronk for the playoffs, which
right.
I just hate. I don't know if there's a player.
No J.J. Watt.
No J.J. Watt all season long.
Right. No Jamal Charles.
No Jamal Charles. And then just like this Derek Carr thing. The Raiders are the best story of the season by far. It's
for
the
sure.
Raiders, okay?
I agree.
And now
and
their
the Cowboys
best player
the Raiders
gets hurt. And it was just like I watched and I'm like, we set this in the air. This sucks. I hate this. And there's an interesting thing I think we do is that we're on the NFL Network. We're very pro-NFL. We're very pro-football. And we try to keep it positive as much as we can. I'm probably the worst at it. And, you know, we're trying to say, you know, maybe the Raiders can rally. Maybe they can do this. And then I found myself being like, I just can't do that. I can't say maybe they can rally. I can't say maybe they'll have their running game, the defense. I think that they're screwed, and I hate it. I wish that they weren't. But I can't spin it any other way, or I'd be disingenuous.
The other big story, though, of this season has been the backups. and the backups coming in. And if you, you know, injuries are a theme, but so are backups coming to play immediately and making an impact and keeping it going.
But to KB's point, how often has a backup
rode
a wave and it got to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm.
Look at Matt Moore, what he's doing.
Look at what Garoppolo
did. With fewer weapons.
I get it. And I hope. Well, I think we all hope for that Cinderella story, but what has history told us? That the superstars, they prevail in the postseason, and they're the ones that make it to the Super Bowl.
I was texting with a friend who works for the Raiders yesterday because we had our show, and I kind of did like a 101 on who Matt McGloin is, right? He's been there 3 years. He was an undrafted guy. He was a walk-on at Penn State. And I said, how are you feeling? Is it doom and gloom? Because I talked to people in other buildings who were eliminated from the playoffs in Week 16, and they were like, it's a morgue. I mean, it is literally a morgue here.
I'm glad to hear that.
There's no chance we're going to win on Sunday. We're out of it. Now, I asked about the Raiders, and they were like, no, we got it. Like, Matt's cool. Like, Matt's been here. It's not like this is some untested entity.
Well, they also are paying him, what, $2.5 million?
Yeah, they paid the restricted fee.
He's among backups.
They put a second-round tender on him, Nate. So he could have been a free agent. They're like, no, second-round tender, meaning if someone else signed them, they would get a second-round pick. He's been there since 2013.
And they have Connor Cook there, but they're
going with this guy.
Yeah.
So they've had Jack Del Rio hired since then. All right, that was before Crabtree, before Carr, before Cooper, before Latavius Murray. McGloin's been there. There's a reason that he's their backup
for sure. But you know what's crazy? It was when you think about these three backup quarterbacks, they all have to go through Tom. Mm-hmm. Like this is an NFC conversation.
About Matt Moore and Savage and
McGloin.
And now McGloin.
And McGloin.
Is that crazy? They're all in the AFC. So it's one thing for it to be spread out and one of those guys are in the NFC. Like, what? Maybe I can't battle with a hurt Russell Wilson and depleted Seahawks.
Yeah. But once upon a time, Tom had to go through Rich Gannon and Cordell Stewart.
I'm just saying, the road is
gonna be
tough.
Tom Brady? I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. And I feel like there's a leaflet that you read from when your quarterback got hurt. It's the same stuff. It's like,
Kurt Warner,
next man up. We'll rally around the defense.
Get the running game going.
We'll get the running game going. And it's just like, come on. You're not going to win the Super Bowl with Matt McGloin. I'm sorry. We've talked all year. Can the Raiders beat the Patriots? Win a Super Bowl? Can they do it out of nowhere? Never been there before. They're not winning the Super Bowl with Matt McGloin. They're just not doing it.
It was phrased, can Derek Carr go in and beat Tom and Gillette?
Maybe he could have, but come on, man.
Now we can't phrase that question.
He's gotten better every season, and yeah, it's just really rough.
It's awful. I hate it.
All right, so hypothetically, say the Raiders win this weekend. They beat the Broncos in a game that they need to win to get the number two seed. They have the number two seed. They'll most likely play the winner of the 3-6 game, all right? So say it's the Steelers. Steelers go into Oakland. You don't give them any shot to beat the Steelers?
Yeah, sure, I do. I mean, look, at home, Oakland.
The Steelers have to go to Oakland, Big Ben, on the road. Yeah. No bueno.
We haven't seen Matt McGloin. That's why my game, spoiler alert, I'm looking forward to seeing, is the Raiders game this weekend, because we don't know. I don't know if he can play at all. I don't think anybody at this table knows if he can play at all. Yeah. So, yeah, of course Pittsburgh could beat him.
He has all the ingredients are there. That offensive line
is
a Velveeta cheese block normally. You've got Crabtree, if he's healthy and ready to go. And they do have a run game.
They do, for sure.
They're top, what, they're sixth best?
Yeah, they're sixth and six, rushing and passing.
There has to be something that goes into the head of these backup quarterbacks when they're facing future Hall of Famers. They're not going up against no slouches. Like, if you face Big Ben, that's Big Ben.
Mm-hmm. AJ,
you got two rings, and he's going to be
AJ
Hall of
Famer. AJ McCarron went blow for blow with Big Ben
four rings,
yeah,
and he's a Hall of Famer. So, like, okay, yeah, I get it.
So can Alex Smith do that?
You talked about the Chiefs today on the show.
Yeah, you might give Alex Smith a little bit better chance because at least he has experience.
So what do we got? We got Brady, Ben, and Alex Smith. The guys
that
have been there. And then the other guys, like the junior varsity.
And the other guys,
but, Nate, you're always saying you don't know what you don't know. So you know what I'm saying? Like, what is
– Yeah, but I have more faith in Derek Carr leading a team that was young, inexperienced.
Do you have more faith in Alex Smith than you do in a backup like Tom Savage or Matt McGloin?
I mean, Alex Smith has been there.
And Alex Smith – I think this year, more than any other year, he's answered those questions about being the micromanager. He's throwing the ball deep. He has weapons that are unbelievable. Macklin hasn't been fantastic, but he can go off any game. This Tyreek Hill
getting
kid
hurt almost
legit.
Made Alex Smith look at Kelce more.
Yeah.
You know, because he always kind of had eyes just for Macklin. Now he had to throw and spread the ball around and – It's really impressive.
We've both
Chiefs
been in that building.
I have to say that.
But New England, awesome. No, in Foxborough, when it's like 4 o'clock, drizzling, playoff game, it's very.
But
difficult.
Let me.
It's very difficult to go in there. And
I'll
win.
Close it out by saying this. I know we have to say who will these AFC teams go through, and then we mentioned the Patriots, or who's going to go through the Cowboys and the NFC. But like I said on the show, it's not clear cut that the Patriots are the best team. Their record speaks, so.
You don't think so in the AFC?
Just without Gronk. With Gronk, I think they're just unbelievably dominant, and you have to give them credit. Like, they're the dominant squad. But they're not. I'm not sold that they're just going to run over everybody.
Nate, the guy, if there's one guy in the AFC I'm the Patriots fan that I'm really scared of, is Le'Veon Bell. It's that guy because, look, Roethlisberger, great, Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell is, like, the hottest running back on the planet right now. He's the guy who could go in there and go off. He's that good. That's the guy who scares me.
Not just go off from a production standpoint. If he's running the ball well, that means Tom is on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And if Tom's on the sideline, mm-hmm. that is your best chance to beat the Patriots.
I think it does. I think the Patriots are obviously the best team, but I'm looking at who they've beat. I mean, it's the Browns. It's the Bills.
And they beat the Broncos in Denver. I don't want to discredit
Niners.
We're not going to discredit them.
I'm just saying they're not fully loaded. They have not had the toughest schedule.
They haven't had those challenge games where you're like, here's a test. Can they beat Green Bay in Green Bay? Like, you haven't had that yet.
Maybe they have one this weekend, though.
They might.
You know,
they play the Dolphins.
It's a big game. Yeah.
All right, I want to shift it to this crazy doomsday scenario I presented on the show today. We're doing this on a Tuesday, and I thought it was fascinating. I don't know if the viewers did. I don't know if you guys do, but I love this kind of talk. All right, so if the Redskins win on Sunday, all right, and beat the Giants, the Packers and Lions are in a do-or-die game, all right? The winner wins the NFC North, most likely gets the 3 seed, hosts a playoff game. The Lions haven't won the NFC North since 1993. It was the NFC Central back then.
Right.
The Packers, of course, would host in Lambeau, where it's nearly impossible now to win. If they tie, they both make it, and the Redskins are on the outside looking. We've never talked about this kind of scenario in the history of the sport. We've never seen anything like this. I threw it out there because I love this kind of stuff, and as a writer, to me, it's great drama. Like, what would happen if they both made an agreement and said, hey, let's just lay down our arms. We both get to walk into the playoffs, and we tie, and the Redskins don't go on. But, Nate, the true competitor in you says that would never happen.
This is not Game of Thrones. Like, what are you talking
I want
about?
It to happen so badly. Now, listen, a realistic scenario, honestly. What if it is, you know, 23-23, and there's, you know, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then maybe you sit on the ball a little bit and play for the tie?
And give a nod to each other. Like, because everyone will say, like, no.
A wink across the field?
Yeah.
Because if the Lions tie the Packers, I believe because the Packers swept the Lions would still have to go on the road and then play the Packers the following week.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point.
But that would have so many, like, fire takes the next day about competition and setting an example. And you play to win the game. They play the Herm Edwards soundbite.
They get rid of ties.
Right.
I mean, there's so much. I mean, this to me. To talk about who's going
to
win.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm on board. Now you've got me. Now you're on the
side. To talk about who's going to win, Packers versus Lions, is a typical conversation. We'll do it the next 3 days on our show, I promise. But to talk about the mindset of a prisoner's dilemma, which you go back to Poli-Sci 101, and it's a study from the 1950s.
Taking me way back.
You put two prisoners in separate cells, and you say to these prisoners, you'll both get out in 5 years if you both just give each other in. But then you also say, you'll get out free if you tell on the other guy, and he'll have to serve 10 years.
And vice versa, yeah.
And vice versa. And then you have to trust, okay, am I going to take the
are you going to be the rat?
Am I going to be the rat?
Tell on the other guy in a second.
Tell
Why
on
not?
The other guy.
I don't
and then
know
if,
him,
and then if
him.
You both tell on each other.
That's like every episode of First 48. They separate the two dudes, and I'm just like, be quiet. Don't say anything, bro.
Be quiet.
And then one of them start talking.
Be quiet is taking a tie.
Yeah. If you both tell on each other, then you get like the life sentence
maximum,
or something.
Yes.
You got to tell quick then. You got to get in before the other guy
so
does.
So more or less, it's...
This has nothing to do with this. How are we
it's the prisoner's dilemma.
It's the prisoner's dilemma. Because if they look at each other and say, if we tie, we're both in. We're good. But then you have to trust that the other guy is going to tie and not come out and beat you 14-0 out of the gates.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. If they actually
or
tie.
In that fourth quarter and the game's tied and you're looking like, do you want to do this now? Do you want to go into overtime and possibly hurt one of our players?
It's a wrap. Let's get out of
wrap it
here.
Up. But then you're looking across like, do I trust
I don't trust
that
him.
Guy?
I don't try. He's McCarthy's my enemy.
Sending
do
a
I
raven.
Trust McCarthy? Do
yes.
I trust?
Sending a raven across the field.
Talking
I don't know. Listen, the game
know.
Is interesting, but for me, it's the dynamic of Big Brother, Little Brother.
Yes.
Green Bay Packers.
This. Go on
they've
to this.
Been the
Give
Big Brothers in this division for so long.
As a Viking and Lion, tell me
Yeah, as a Viking and Lion, I always looked up to him. And it was a certain level of hate, but it was also – more of a level of respect. And what makes this game even more interesting because even though the Lions are leading the division, like they're one game away from losing the division. They had everything, the world in their hands, and now you have the Green Bay Packers just coming and grabbing
So win
it.
This weekend. Just
so
get
they
it
have to win. But here's the thing. Green
hard.
Bay Packers have been in a situation before. So they're used to
yeah,
I feel like they're used to the pressure of having this moment
of course, this is what they
right
do
in
year.
Front of them. What they do every year. They're used to winners. They are postseason, you know, perennial contenders. You look at the Lions, now they're in that awkward position where
well, they've also lost two straight.
Yeah. No one has booked flights. No one's thinking about vacations. So now you're walking this game saying, I need this more than anything. And I've been there before where you lose a game. I think it was 03. We played the Cardinals. They knocked us out. Nathan Poole catches the.
Oh, I remember. Josh McCown to Nathan Poole. The 2-13 Cardinals eliminate a team
and
that started off
6-0.
And I remember. Thinking to myself, "Damn! Like, I didn't. I'm not prepared for this. I'm not ready." And being on
if you're
that,
listening at home, Google Nathan Poole and watch that clip. It's one of the craziest ever. Go
I remember
on.
Being on the bus and on the plane and thinking, like, "Damn, okay, let me figure out this offseason." But more importantly, I guess at some point in my career, I'll get back to the playoffs. I was looking at these veterans, tears. It's just like some of them were crying because the shock of now their season ending, they weren't prepared for it. Their families. And then other guys saying, I'll never be back in the playoffs. And I thought, man, you guys are being dramatic. But it is that hard. So now will that pressure be on the shoulders of the Lions more than it is on the Green Bay Packers? So when I'm watching the game, I'm not just watching X's and O's. I want to see how loose or tight Matt Stafford is. I want to see if the receivers are ready for the moment. I want to see whoever their running back is, if they can control the ground. Or if the defensive backs are going to be shook up because you got Jordy and Devontae running everywhere. So for me, it's the dramatics of the game I pay attention to. And to be honest, I could tell within the first 5 minutes who's ready to play and who's trying to act like they're ready to play.
So all high school, all college, I was a professional procrastinator. I was awesome at it. I would wait till the last day. I wouldn't even go to class. I'd cram and study, and I'd pass the test or get the term paper, and I'd get an A.
And doing all night.
If I waited to the last minute, I was always a procrastinator. Yeah. So you're basically saying that's the Lions are. They wait till the – I perform very well under pressure.
Yeah.
So I always did that all throughout high school and college, and it worked like a charm every time until one day I was one huge mega term paper with an asshole professor who I needed to, like, print something out or cite something or something. I remember, like, the library was closed. I ended up not getting the paper in on time. And, you know, I was the person – I would, like, go to the professor's house and slide it under their door and get it in just in the nick of time to get
office
the A.
Office hours.
Office hours, all of that. Can I get extra credit, pass the class, all of that stuff. I mean, that's the Packers. This professor, that's the Packers.
You're right.
This week.
You're right. They have all the authority. And it's weird that we're talking about it because the leaders –
all
the Lions
season.
Within that division. But we're still giving Green Bay Packers credit as the
they're playing well
leaders.
Under pressure, but you can't continue. It's not sustainable. It's my whole thing, which has been with the Lions all season long.
That's
sustainability.
It's Nate. It's a phrase that we've talked about before. It's three words. It's the Lions. And that comes up all the time. So one of my good friends in L.A., Josh Smisco, huge Packers fan. This is a month ago.
What's his name, Joshua?
Josh Smisco. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you know, he's a huge Packers fan. I'm like, yeah, you know, but what do you think about the Lions? They're in first place. He just looks at me like, dude, it's the Lions.
This is months ago.
It's the Lions. This is way back on Thanksgiving. It's the Lions. And you know what? Here we are, and it's the Lions. And they're one loss away from ending on three straight losses on their home field this week. It's the Lions.
But they could do it.
It's
going to
be the Packers.
If they play well,
it.
I understand like performing well under pressure, back against the wall, and that might be that's what their identity is, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It would be a microcosm of their season as a whole. If we go back and watch the NFL Films 2016 Lions video yearbook, it's going to be just the final minute of games against the Redskins,
heroics.
The Rams, the Eagles, the Vikings. That's how they win. I mean, the Colts, they won those games in the last second on the last drive in the biggest moments. And guess what? We're going to go to week 17, and everyone's going to count them out. You know, they lost these last two games horrendously on the road, Giants and the Cowboys.
He's 1-25. That is a staggering statistic.
That's a big
and so
one.
Are his
staggering.
Prime time. So are his
but
prime
he's home.
Time.
He's going to be home.
If
and I'll tell you what, everyone in that place.
It's making me nervous.
As much as they are self-loathing fans, those Lions, they are proud fans, and they want this so badly.
They really are.
That place will be rocking. And if you just think, no problem, Aaron Rodgers come in, throw another Hail Mary like he did last year and beat them in their building, then fine. But I imagine that the Lions are going to give their best effort. They're going to show up. And if Rodgers outduels Stafford in, you know, 60 minutes of football, then God bless them. They deserve it. But I don't think we're going to get an egg like we got the last 2 weeks from the Lions.
Rodgers is such a killer, dude. Look, it'd be one thing if they had to win and, like, some team was limping in, like the Chargers or something. They had to beat San Diego. This is just the worst team to see and the worst guy.
Five straight. Mike Garofalo joined us this week talking about the momentum. He was there at Lambeau over the past six games, 14 touchdowns, no interceptions.
He's never played better. It's just this is all just combining to be this nightmare, and I actually think that they're going to lose by a lot.
I've lived this as Chicago Bears fans. We're texting. Well, who is Chicago playing with Matt Barkley? Not this past weekend. The weekend before, where I was like, they're going to win. They're going to beat the Packers.
Oh, the Packers.
They're going to beat
and
the Packers.
And they play
their
asses off
the Packers.
Packers.
What do you know? Boom, Jordy Nelson.
Jordy steps back just
unbelievable.
Shucks, grabs it, nails
and
it.
I said, yep, Kyle, that's pretty much what we've been dealing with our whole lives.
It's going to come down to ball control and whoever wins the turnover battle. If they can get Aaron Rodgers to turn the ball over early, the Lions will grab that momentum. And you're shaking your head because it's tough to get Aaron Rodgers to turn the ball over.
Dak didn't do it.
But if the Lions are the first to turn the ball over, it could be a runaway for the Packers. Mm-hmm. So they
might take the Lions. I might take the Lions just to be
– straight up?
Yeah.
It's an aggressive
game
plan.
Ride or die.
I've been on them all season.
Don't sit back. See, there's two trains of thought when going up against Aaron Rodgers. It's sit back because he's athletic and we don't want to pressure him where he makes this beautiful throw under duress and then that guy runs because we sent pressure. But then there's a train of thought where, no, actually, let's make him uncomfortable in the pocket, collapse him, and keep him contained and allow them DBs to make plays. My train of thought, make him comfortable. Mm-hmm. But make sure you don't give him lanes because he'll run with the best of them. But you have to make him uncomfortable. But if you make him uncomfortable and you're sending pressure, DBs, it's on y'all. I saw Darius Slay on the sideline. Darius, you got to get on that field.
He's injured.
You need to be one-on-one with Jordy. I know he was doubtful.
You've got
I don't know how healthy he is.
You've got Nevin Lawson and Zach Zenner playing in the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is very cocky, very happy with himself, and I've never seen him like more confident right now. He's making jokes. He's juking guys out. I feel he's
back in his zone.
Here's my
Dude,
one
he
thing.
He's back in
he's
the zone.
I don't want to talk X's and O's, but my last point on this game is that Adam Thielen had 200 yards receiving against that vaunted Packers defense.
Okay.
They're not the 85 Bears. Uh-huh. That Packers defense, Dom Capers has struggled with that unit the entire year. The Lions can score some points on this team.
Yeah.
Do they have a guy as good as Adam Thielen on the Lions right now?
They've got three of them.
Do they?
Yeah. They've got
Thielen
Bolden.
Can ball.
They've got Bolden, Marvin Jones, and Golden Tate, and Eric Ebron.
Yeah. Thielen's good.
Thielen's pretty good.
I'm feeling Thielen.
Thielen's getting a lot of love on our show of late.
He is. He's been
on. Make plays.
I like Thielen because at the beginning of the season we talked about him as the small school guy. That's a cool story.
Undrafted.
Now he's in toe drag swag and he's in the top catcher.
Leading receiver of the team.
Yeah, he's a big celebrity now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so we love the Packers-Lions game. We are excited about that one. I know there's a lot on the line. Let's run through some of the other games on the docket. You guys, whammy style, can we do this?
Let's go.
Who wants Ravens-Bengals? Anybody? Ravens.
No, thank you, Kay.
Bengals-Texans-Titans.
Nope.
Nah.
Panthers at Bucks.
I'm working the sidelines.
Buccaneers nice. Still technically alive, isn't that
yeah,
true?
Yeah, there's like 11
Wait,
Panthers.
You're back to Tampa?
Back to Tampa. Panthers, right. Tampa.
How
there.
Genius was it for the schedulers to make these last games?
Divisions? How about this? No Thursday night football, no Monday night football. So it's all on Sunday.
Genius for them to make these last few weeks count. You remember when these weeks didn't count?
Yeah, I remember.
And we tuned them out?
Cardinals, Vikings, Nathan Poole.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of conference. Yeah.
Guys, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Nate Burleson. We're both live on Instagram
right now.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Via at GMFB. Terrence, you happy about that? Yeah, not social bad. Media. Okay, how about Cowboys at Eagles?
Yes, whammy.
Whammy. Okay.
I think there's a fascinating aspect to this game.
Don't say nothing crazy, Peter.
No, I just think it's very interesting. I know, we got very heated today because I said, you know, the mere thought
okay,
of...
Okay, but were you guys just joking?
No, that was
it
real.
Actually got real serious.
That was real.
About the award? The
about the record?
Yeah.
Nate started, I mean...
Of course records matter!
Nate made a thing that, you know, as a player, he said, of course, I mean, look, if the rushing record is there, like he... You didn't advocate to go for it, but you said – I just said – I discredited it altogether.
Yeah.
That upset Nate because I said the rookie rushing record is like, what even is that? Who cares?
What's
like,
the point?
It's not the rushing record. It's not, you know, the MVP.
Roger Maris, 61 home
runs.
It's
like, you know,
no one even knows.
7B on the list, and you said, wait a second. It's a record in the NFL. Yeah. That matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't a heated argument. It was an argument. And here's the thing. I like arguing with you guys, especially Peter, KB, wherever you –
You do like that.
I love
arguing.
Yeah,
it wasn't an argument.
Because it's different
got,
trains of thoughts on that.
And 183 yards, and we're not – because we both agreed that there's no reason to go for that. But I made this little snide comment saying it's not even a real record. Like, it's not Joe DiMaggio's 56-game history. And that set you off.
Yeah. It's because it's a record in the NFL. I don't care how small it is. It's hard enough to – put on a jersey in the NFL, let alone, you know, grab a record that could last for a long time. So that's all it was. But I think we're both in agreement that they don't need to force the issue.
That's not even – to me, that's not even – I don't even care about – I mean, honestly, like, NFL individual records, I don't care. What I care about is whether I see Tony Romo or not. Mm. And if that fourth quarter starts and the Cowboys are 20-3 on the Eagles
– okay.
And in comes Tony Romo. I am changing whatever game has playoff implications to put on that one. And that's the game I want to see. So to me, it's Burkhart, it's Lynch, it's Pam Oliver. Like, Fox put a big crew on that game, even there's no playoff implications. Because if there's a chance that I get that Tony Romo run out onto the field, I am all eyes on it, and I cannot wait to see it. And I honestly think it's in Jason Garrett's best interest to trot him on out there.
What you think, KB?
Look, we've talked about this. You got to get him out there. You got to get him reps. You got to get him playing. he hasn't played real football in over a year. And I picture the scenario, Nate. It's the first playoff game for the Cowboys, and Dak pulls up lame. He goes down. Romo immediately has got the helmet on and starts throwing on the sideline. He's got to go in 30 seconds for the next snap. He has not played a real football game in over a year. 2 years, really. Get him in there. Let's get him some reps. Stop hiding him. We're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. Dak's very strong. We've been through this all season. Let me see Romo get a sweat. Let me see him get a hit. Let me see him throw a few times the 88 just to make sure we know he's
Where do you guys
there.
Stand on it? Because Kyle and I both want to see him. I think you have to see him.
I want to see him because I don't want the narrative of Dak can't handle it. Why cause the drama? Handle the drama. You're about to go into the playoffs. All eyes are on you. Let's go.
I don't want to see Romo on the field. Just like
you don't want him to get hurt.
I don't want him to get hurt. I didn't want to see Adrian Peterson on the field. He didn't look the same. I felt like he lost money. And as much as, you know, I would hope Tony Romo considers his body before he considers his play on the field and retires, I feel like he's made his mind up that he still wants to play football.
31 teams want to see him out there because they want to see what he has.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Just like we
but
do.
But if he goes out there, he doesn't look the same, or he goes out there, gets hurt, gets hit, then I think 31 teams are going to make their mind up, and then it's only going to come down to one team
okay, well,
looking
that's
at
about
him as a
Tony.
Backup.
What about for the Cowboys' sake?
Doesn't matter. I feel like Dak has shown resiliency. He showed toughness, just like Zeke has. Those young fellas.
So something happens to Dak, God forbid, knock on wood, and they have to have Romo out there. Shouldn't he get the feel of like the offensive line and, I don't know, some of his
He's
weapons?
He's been there.
He hasn't been there with Zeke. He hasn't been there. He hasn't played in a game in a really long time.
Not being there with Zeke is probably the ultimate comfort because all he has to do is turn around and hand it off. As far as being behind that line and knowing the playbook, Romo doesn't need reps. Like, he doesn't need to go out there and get a feel for things.
Just a couple reps. How about just one series?
Yeah, just how about one drive.
Just a couple
of things. Here's the thing. I'm saying all this because I want this allure of Tony Romo
one
being
one Gavin Escobar touchdown.
But what does that give you? Yeah. What does the allure of Tony Romo and like keeping him in his bubble wrap give you? I don't get it.
No, not for me, just for the NFL. I want there to be a fire sale for people getting rid of their players to try to acquire Tony, and I want Tony to break the bank again, and I want all these expectations and the dramatics of Tony Romo being another jersey.
I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I need to
you
know.
You want to see?
I need to know
more confirmation
if they should call New England and be like, "Hey, Belichick, what do we want for Garoppolo?"
Right.
Or I need to know if it's, "Hey, Tony
if it's
Romo's
Romo.
Got, let's bring Romo back
and
home."
And
to
I feel
Chicago.
You, and as a fan, you want to see if Romo's healthy. I'd rather just not see him touch the field at all because I want the dramatics of the unknown.
It's the Honus Wagner
year.
Rookie for Nate. It's in the case. You
you're
know?
Right. Yeah, it's mint condition.
It appreciates value.
Bills
not being
Jets,
used.
Anybody?
Bills Jets definitely big.
No, thank
big
you.
No whammy,
woof.
No whammy, no whammy. Bears Vikings.
Double woof.
No.
Jags Colts.
Oh,
Pats Dolphins. I love the Pats Dolphins.
Okay,
Pats Dolphins.
Okay, whammy.
I like it because Traeger, you can help me out with this. The playoff implications are great. They could knock the Pats off of the one seed, making them travel to Oakland or wherever. Everything to go through Foxborough is huge. We saw them lose last year in Denver. Just not a good deal.
Dolphins are 10-5, man.
Dolphins are 10-5, and if the Dolphins
they beat
win
them
that
week
game,
17 last year,
and the Chiefs lose, the Dolphins suddenly have the 5 seed, and instead of having to play the Steelers, they play the Texans. Mm-hmm. So the Dolphins have everything to play
big
for.
Deal.
And,
big deal.
And Kay is right. For whatever reason, Matt Moore, Tana, whoever, the Dolphins give the Patriots trouble.
They do.
It's a division point.
Are they 2-1 in their last three meetings or something like that?
Well, yeah. What do we always say? If you want to beat the Patriots, you have to hit Brady in the mouth. Look at that pass rush they got. Bad dudes and Domic and Cameron Wake. That's how you beat
Cameron
Brady.
Cameron Wake,
hit him.
Since week 6, has 10.5 sacks. That is more than anybody in the game. He looks great. You've got guys like Kenyon Barner, Deion Sims scoring touchdowns and making plays. I like that.
Kenyon Drake.
That's
you know
what
Nate,
I meant.
Nate
Sorry.
Said something on
I
the
got
show
you.
Today
Barner's
when we
the
threw
Eagles
up the
kid.
Standings in AFC. It's like the Dolphins said 10-5 next to their name. Like that was such a strange thing because they've been so mediocre for so long. They're about to go 11-5.
They started the year 1-4.
Adam Gase.
What? That's a lot of wins, man.
11-5.
Chiefs at Chargers.
It's crazy.
No thanks. Man. Chargers lost to the Browns.
Cardinals Rams.
The Rams.
Raiders Broncos.
I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Okay, stop.
One? Okay.
Yes.
Whoa, jeez.
You know, okay, obviously, look, this is a big deal in the whole span of the AFC playoffs because we're going to get our look at Matt McGloin. And I have to give Colin Coward credit because I watch his show when Peter goes on there.
Yeah.
And he did this bit that was funny about there's this guy in North Carolina, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're never going to be a legendary quarterback named Mitch Trubisky. And so it's like, okay, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Matt McGloin. He doesn't pass the name test.
You know what? Matt McGloin sounds like a guy in Braveheart.
He does. He like with a kilt and a big axe or something
that
like that.
Can- but hurt people.
But much more importantly, all right, so Matt McGloin's going to come in. Everybody's going to be watching him. You got this Cinderella team and cars out in your end. And now you got to go at the Broncos.
Right.
You got to go at Vaughn and Aqib and all those dudes on the road at that Mile High.
I don't know. That vaunted Broncos defense kind of looks like it's got some holes on it. I've seen
that. Wow. Does look. The Chiefs still got the guys
out there. The Chiefs just lit them up.
And they might be checked out. Being eliminated.
Peter, the guy is starting for the Raiders. I'm not saying they're still the 85 Bears. I'm saying, though, that they're also not playing the Rams this week. And they're playing a team that's been there that hopefully has some pride at home on the road. So I think we're going to see in the first quarter. Does Matt McGloin pee down his leg, or is it like everybody's saying, no, he's been around, he's a great guy,
feel
he's
good,
he's feeling, blah, blah. Let's see what this guy's got.
You're dead
because
on.
We're going to be watching him start a playoff game, and
You're
I'm
dead
into
on.
It, right?
Who do you think – I haven't looked at the Vegas lines. Who do you think is even favored in that game? It's in Denver. The Raiders are riding high. I would think the
Broncos
are favored, right?
They're eliminated. So.
Yes, they're out.
I would think even so, the Broncos have to be favored, right?
I don't –
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Probably really close. I'm not good at lines like that. My only lines I do are rap lines, but I don't do point spreads.
You do bars? You do
bars? Yeah, exactly. So, no, I'm way into that. I think everyone's into that. We got to see Matt McGloin.
Seahawks, Niners?
No.
Saints, Falcons, and Packers, Lions.
Packers
you like
Lions
those Falcons.
Giants, Redskins is intriguing. Do you want that one?
Well, we touched on the Packers, Lions. I think we pretty much said everything we need to say.
Seahawks, Falcons, Nate. That's a game and a half, right?
Seahawks
there.
Saints, Seahawks,
Saints, Saints, Falcons, like I said. But Seahawks, Falcons, you can imagine what it would be like.
Yeah, no.
And maybe it'll be a playoff game.
You're right. It might be.
Giants, Redskins is the biggest game of the
they're
four.
They're an interesting team,
really?
Too, though.
Yeah, the Redskins are winning in for them. I mean, more or less, unless the Lions and Packers tie.
Happens,
Can the Redskins do it?
I don't know. You know, here's the thing, man. I like the Giants, and they're hot right now. I feel like they got a rhythm. And Giants, Redskins, similar dynamic to Packers, Lions. The Giants kind of got that big brother like mentality. Like, we got the rings. You know, we might have had equally as of a roller coaster season as you guys, but we're better. Like, we're the Giants. We're better than you guys. So the Redskins have to battle that. Like, there's out of these last games in week 17, there's a lot of demons that could potentially be exercised. And it could be a shift in how we look at organizations moving forward. So I'm excited to see what happens. But, like, with all this stuff being said and everything we're talking about, you know, Brady not having Gronk, Russell Wilson dealing with his superstar X-Factor going down, no Derek Carr, all these backups, I honestly believe for the first time in a long time, anybody can win it. And it's not going to be your traditional picks that we usually lean on. It's not going to be, you know, Pats and the
– Okay, so Nate's taking Tom
Packers,
Savage and the Texans – to go and get that chip.
I don't know,
no, that's
I don't
not
know
true.
If I'm going that far.
You don't believe
far,
what you're saying.
But I'm not going that far, but I'm saying maybe it's Atlanta and the Cowboys, two teams we haven't seen a Super Bowl in a long time.
To that note, that's why I want the Redskins in the playoffs because we talked about this. The Redskins, to me, have knockout power.
Yes.
That's how they describe maybe they're
the
not
Lions,
the best
you don't
boxer.
Feel it, right?
No, the Redskins with those deep threats and that offense, they're a team that could just, oh,
and
my
they've
God,
got
they
nine
shock
odds.
Somebody.
They lost that game to Carolina.
That's why I love the Raiders so much because I trusted them
so
to go
the,
to
the
box
Redskins
are
like a heavyweight. Fighter that they got one punch can knock you out and blow the doors off you. But
they're the George Foreman
the Lions are like the middleweight fighter. Like
they'll jab
and just try to get the decision at the end of the fight.
Gotti versus
and then
Ward.
They get knocked out at the end, right? But no, that's why I want the Redskins in.
I dig it. All right, let's guys. It's new. Next time we do this podcast, it'll be 2017.
Oh man, still writing 2016 on my checks.
What? Mm. Wild. Let's do some New Year's resolutions, shall we?
I love that. Good.
I think on the show, what we should do is do what teams should resolve to do. But let's do our personal New Year's resolutions. Okay. Nate, kick us off.
You're going with me right out the gate?
Uh-huh.
Nate's got a brainstorm.
I do got a brainstorm.
That's true.
You know what?
Let me give you a minute here. Kyle, go. Okay,
Nate's the person when the waiter's like, can you come back to me? I need to look at the menu still. Yeah. I know I come here all the time.
And I order the same thing after
every
he comes
time,
back.
Every time. My New Year's resolution, I've had ones in the past. For years, it was always to floss more, and then I started doing that. And then sometimes it's sort of diet-related. Mine is a very
floss more.
I wasn't flossing a lot, and then I floss all the time now. Mine is a very 2017 thing. My New Year's resolution is to tweet more, and I'm not into it. I'm not a natural tweeter. I don't put a lot of tweets out there. I don't like it, but I know that is the way of the world. We work in the media. I should be Instagramming more. I should be tweeting more. It's just it's hard. When I'm out and about.
Why? Why are you saying this?
Because that's the way the media works, and that's the way the industry is. And, you know, if you're part of the media and we're full-time on a show now and you should let people in.
Great for branding.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. And I do want to play that game. And yet when I'm out, at the pumpkin patch with my family, I don't feel like taking a few minutes to do the stupid Instagram picture of me doing this and say, hey, everybody. But I feel like maybe I should do more of that. Yeah. So I don't tweet very much. I think jokes. I think observations all the time. I just don't tweet them. I'm off my phone. I'm enjoying my family. But I think in 2017, I want to try to do it more because there's other people who do it a lot, who I follow, who I respect, and I'm prideful that I don't do it, but it's the way of the world, Peter. You understand. You got social media. You got to
do it a lot. And I find,
you got to do it more too.
I find, honestly, the more you get to know people on Twitter,
the less you like them.
You believe that that's them, and you start to dislike them because you're like, another tweet from that guy. And if anything, I want to pull the reins back. Mm-hmm. I'm tweeting nonsensical, like, commentary on a game. Like, it's in the ether. It lasts for two, and I'm praying for retweets. I'm like, that's no way to live life, dude. What do you want out of the Twitter thing?
I love this conversation. You want
the engagement with the viewers and make you feel like that. You know, yeah. What is it? Yeah.
I want engagement, especially now. I never cared about it before. But now that we have a show and we have our viewers, you know, we talked a lot about tweeting during the show, which I've totally gotten away from. And then, you know, that's how the game is played now. You tweet away. You let people into your life. And I don't do that at all. I don't want to be one of these crazy high-volume tweeting everything, 50 yeah. tweets
How about
during the third quarter of a
tweeters,
game. No, the politics tweeters, none of that.
Or the guys who are promoting their own, you know, their own stuff.
Or I just worked out. I just did the damn thing on the treadmill.
What about this mute button?
Oh, the mute button is fascinating.
I don't know anything about it. I'm excited for you guys to teach me.
So you can unfollow people, and that ends relationships. I've seen relationships end because someone unfollowed the other. But the life hack, the tweet hack,
bananas.
Is just mute them. Just mute them. I know someone who works for this network who got unfollowed once by somebody I know and was very upset about it. There's your blind item. But no, the mute is the end-all, solve-all because you keep following them. You don't see their tweets anymore, and you can be free from their inane observations on Hillary and Trump without having to unfollow them. But my resolution, tweet more, Instagram more. I'm never going to be high volume. I just got to do it more. I want to play the game more.
Yeah. What do you got?
My resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Tweet less.
You don't tweet much.
Talk more. No, I would say that that's a Hamilton
Twitter's
reference,
Twitter's a very
guys.
Saturated place, Kyle.
I know, but I barely do anything.
My resolution, honestly, and this sounds so hokey, is that I'm so all gung-ho football from, I guess, like July 25th from training camp right through to the Super Bowl that I neglect everyone else in my life. I haven't seen my high school friends all season long. I travel on the weekends.
Amen.
I kind of want to take some time to appreciate my new baby and appreciate my wife and kind of unplug after the Super Bowl before the combine. I got 2 weeks before we get back into draft mode, and I really want to make a concerted effort to unplug and appreciate the things that are non-work related and non-football related, which sounds so hokey.
Is there something in mind? What would you want to appreciate more other than your family? I mean, like, you want to
You know,
relax
I miss
more.
I miss everything. I miss Christmas. I'm gonna miss New Year's Eve with my wife. I'm gonna miss New Year's Day. And don't woe is me. It's what we do. It's the walk. So when I am around, I want to be present. I don't want to be checking the phone. I don't want to be thinking about it. I don't want to be doing mock drafts. For those 2 weeks, I might want to take a little time to appreciate everything else in the world, which sounds crazy.
No, it's right on time. That's good stuff, man.
no, also
I've been there. I've been there.
Not the easiest thing for you to do.
Yeah, I love it. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. That's why it's so good. For me, I guess it's similar in a sense. Like me being a Leo and always identifying with the lion and wanting to take over the jungle.
Lion's blood.
Lion blood,
in your
right?
jungle.
I always wake up and feel like there's more to do, more to hunt for. And it's fatiguing because then I go home and I go into daddy mode and I'm very present when I'm there. I cook, I clean, I pick them up from school. I'm at basketball practice late, even though my wife's like, nah, I don't go. But I feel bad because I'm sitting at home and my son's in the gym.
Yeah.
And even though I'm tired, I could be in the gym just sitting in the stance. Not that I'm coaching, that he sees me there.
You're up
and
there.
I'm present, right? So finding the balance between always wanting to conquer the world or go hunt the next big kill, I have to be able to detach as well. And I'm glad that my family gets to see me more now that I'm working this job. But I need to be able to just, like, turn off the switch. It's kind of hard because I tell little kids – greatness isn't a dimmer. You know, it's either on or off. So for me, I don't always have to be in hunt mode or take over the world mode. So for me, I think I'm going to just kind of scale back and pick and choose my battles. Because I literally wake up and I feel like there's something great that I have to do today. It's like me telling myself. I thought that as a player doesn't necessarily translate now that I'm not playing. So I just got to pick and choose when I have that approach.
Okay.
I'm going to go with – there's a couple of them. I want to catch up. I feel like – season started, crazy fantasy. I work for DirecTV on the weekends. It takes up a lot of my time, and I love it. But I'm going to have now, after this week, no Thursday work, no Sunday work, no Thursday night work, rather. So I want to catch up. I want to like do all the things that I haven't been able to do, and not throw myself into another job right away, which is like my immediate thing is like, oh no, what am I going to do now? I have Sundays free. I want to relax. I want to catch up. I want to make my resolution to see live music at least once a month.
Okay.
I love going to live shows. I haven't been to, I've been to like one all season.
What was it?
Bon Iver. Which was great, but it's the only one I've seen all season, so I want to get back into that. And I also want to do I was looking into, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff. Like, good. I feel like I'm done here at 10 in the morning. I can at least go maybe once a week, do something to help other people.
Awesome.
You. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's good stuff.
I like that.
Blind item time?
I'm doing
time?
It.
Okay. Blind
Who's
item?
Got one?
I got one.
Okay.
Blind item time. Peter, set up what it is exactly.
Okay, so blind item. Kyle's given one. Nate's given one. Essentially what it is, in the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you a story about an NFL person in our world or a celebrity or something, and I'm never going to reveal who it is. I'm never going to reveal the name of the person, but we're going to tell you the scenario, and the Twitter followers at home can guess. They can tweet us all the stuff.
Away.
Mine goes very blue.
Good. That's where I live.
Mine
I like
gets
it.
Between the sheets. I'm going to dark places.
What's going on?
So I was in an NFL city at a hotel lobby. And I was standing there, and a former athlete, I'm not going to name the sport.
When was
former.
It?
Former.
When was it?
2 years ago.
Two okay. years ago, a former athlete, so it's not a football player. We got that already.
Was in the lobby, and we talked, and I said, what's up? And he says, oh, I've seen you on television. I felt pretty cool. This former athlete knew who I was. We didn't take any photos, whatever. I decide that I'm about to call tonight, and he's like, I'm having a good time, and, you know, I don't know if this is bro code that I'm breaking up the thing. I don't know what his marriage said. I have no idea. But it just so happens
single, married, you don't know.
I have no idea. I don't care. We both leave the hotel lobby at the same time. It's very awkward. We get into the elevator together. He has a young lady. I do not. We go up, and we both press the same button on the elevator floor. Like, okay, this is interesting. Bing. And, you know, floor 11, we open up. Bing. And, you know, sometimes you take the right, and the other guy takes the left. No, we both go right.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, all right.
Awkward. Little footsteps.
I'm in room 1103, and next to me in 1105 is this gentleman and the lady
Slides
he's with.
Slides his key in.
So random.
What'd they do in there, Peter?
Opens the door.
Say for the next 12 hours, there was some animalistic sounds going on. I thought there was a okay. That's gross.
Okay, what is happening? I'm so glad we're not on TV.
I thought only one of them was the noises that were being made. I thought only one of them was going to make it out alive.
Uh-huh,
I
right.
mean, it sounded like Jumanji in there.
It right. sounded like Jumanji. It sounded like you know, any movie you can imagine.
Ron Jumanji.
Yes, Ron Jumanji. Is that the version? Okay, that's in the back in the adult section.
Get it? Ron.
Oh yeah,
Ron something.
Jumanji. KB, you're late on that one, man.
Long story short. Okay, I'm blushing telling you this story. The next morning I woke up, I was completely out of sorts. I didn't sleep a wink because it was 12 hours.
Because of the sound effects.
This guy put on such a show, and I felt so emasculated.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to call the front desk and actually tell them, like, can you tell him to just calm it down for an hour? I need to get some shut-eye.
I can barely hear my 2.5 Men marathon
I'm
that
trying
I'm watching.
I'm trying to watch Big Bang Theory, and all I'm getting is the Big and the Bang.
Hey, I got a theory on that Big Bang.
Long story short.
Ron Jumanji.
This right. former athlete kept me wow. up all night, and kudos to him and kudos to the lady. I hope they lived happily ever after.
And you never saw them after man.
Never saw him again. I haven't seen the athlete again.
You're man. Doing 2.5 man. He's like an 8.5 man.
You're telling us who this person is immediately after we wrap up.
Anytime I see this person, whether someone mentions him in like historic forms, like he was one of the greats at this position, I'm like, ha! And I laugh to myself and I just move right along. But that is my blind item.
My blind item sucked compared to that, so I'm really glad that you went instead of me this week.
That was a good
I'll
one.
I'll do one next week. Any guesses?
No yeah, guesses. We don't do guesses.
I won't do guesses, but I got some pretty good ones maybe off the air a little bit. Yeah, Peter, I think I know who it is.
There you have it, guys.
There we have it. We appreciate you guys listening. Download us on
iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. You go to NFL.com/podcast. You can find us there. And tune in to GMFB.
And I think the most important thing, right, is tell your friends. If you're having a good time, you're commuting this week, you're coming back from the holidays, you're going, tell your friends.
Comment, post, retweet, like, do all that.
Yeah, go watch Jumanji.
I want to know your resolutions, guys. Tweet us, #GMFB. Happy New Year.